This is Ozarks at Large. Live music is gradually being staged again. Gradually. Shows are incorporating social distancing procedures into the experience. For the Emmett Cohen Trio performance at the Walton Arts Center, Saturday, December 5th, the show is being moved from the Intimate Star Theater to the nearly 1,200-seat Baumwalker Hall. But attendance will still be limited to about 200 people. Robert Ginsberg, the host of KUAF's Shades of Jazz Every Weekend, recently talked with Cohen about the upcoming show, about learning his skills in the jazz clubs of New York City, and about how the other musicians in his trio helped him musically survive and thrive during the past 8 months. Here's a portion of their conversation.
You create a kind of vibe that feels like we're in your living room and witnessing an unfolding of this joyous creation right along with you guys in the band. And it's just so relaxed and personal. How do you achieve that?
Yeah, well, I think that we're actually more than a band. We're family. And it's been that way since I met Russell Hall. And when he was in high school, I was in college. So that's been 9 years we've been friends. And Kyle Poole, when we moved to New York, he was running a jam session down at Smalls. And we would go play and hang every week for years and years. And so I've known him for 8 years, and we've just gotten very close over those years, and a very formative time in New York. We all live a block away from each other, which, you know, helped us to be able to quarantine together, throughout this year, 2020. And, we share an equal love of the music as well. And I think that's what really bonds us together. You know, we sit all night and listen to Louis Armstrong and Fats Waller and Bud Powell and Thelonious Monk and Cedar Walton and Barry Harris and Wynton Marsalis, whatever it is. You know, we sit there and we listen to it and we all hear it and ingest it in the same way. And then I think that helps when we go to play. We've ingested all this music and we can then really be on the same page about what we want our music to do in the world and how we want it to sound, you know, in the room, and what we want it to do for humanity, which is even bigger than those, you know?
You became involved with music as a toddler and have stayed the course with great enthusiasm and a prodigious output of artful creations. Can you describe how your relationship with music has evolved over the years and what it means to you now?
Well, it's something that I can't remember life without. I started playing at 3, Suzuki piano, which is learning by ear, and that really lends itself to playing jazz later on, I think, because the ear is developed and you're used to learning, you know, in that aural way, which so much of jazz is about. Growing up, it was a struggle to want to, you know, be outside and be playing on sports teams and be doing other various extracurricular things. But I went to middle school and high school in Montclair, New Jersey, and there I got a chance to see and meet some jazz musicians. My father would take me to go see guys like Monty Alexander, Ahmed Jamal, or Marcus Roberts, Ray Charles, I remember, Jimmy Smith at the Blue Note on organ. So I got a chance in my formative years to hear a lot of and see a lot of great music. He would take me to see Keith Jarrett. And so seeing those jazz musicians, though, made me want to be around the music as much as possible. So I was in high school and there was a jam session that would go on at Cecil's Jazz Club in West Orange, New Jersey, run by Cecil Brooks III, great drummer who played with all the organ players. And there I learned to play Hammond B3, and I would go sit in every Tuesday night. And a bunch of musicians from the neighborhood would come in, and, you know, we'd have a jam session, and I was forced to learn these tunes on the organ. So I was like, okay, how can I walk a bass line on Bye Bye Blackbird for 45 minutes when everyone takes a solo? And it's not like practicing in the practice room. Like, you have to execute on the bandstand. You can't stop and start over. And it's that the experiential learning like that allows you, or allows one, to really just come into the music and just be the music in real time and not, overthink anything. It's just like, you have to do it. And if you mess something up, then that's when you go home to the practice room and you fix that and you get another chance. I always loved the music, and I think I always knew deep down that it was something that I was meant to be doing, because I've been able to connect with all kinds of people all over the world. It's brought me to countless countries. So it's really expanded the world for me, and it's really allowed me to connect with other human beings on a deeper level. I mean, we can go to Japan and be sitting in a jam session and can't say one word to the saxophone player, but all he has to do is start playing Jerome Kern's All the Things You Are, and we're immediately locked in and on the same page. And that's, those couple of things are really huge for me in terms of the humanity in the music.
Your reverence for the living jazz masters has brought you to create a series of recordings that features them. It's called the Legacy Series. And I'm curious to hear more about how that project came about.
When I first moved to New York, I joined the Dizzy Gillespie Alumni Big Band, and playing first tenor in the band at that time was Jimmy Heath. And I remember, doing gigs with Jimmy Heath, accompanying him, and also just hanging out with him. We played New Year's Eve, I think maybe 2013, something like that, in D.C. at the Kennedy Center. And I rode the bus down with the band, and I was sitting kind of catty cornered with Jimmy Heath, and he started, just talking all these stories and talking about Charlie Parker borrowing his horn, and talking about, his two brothers and growing up, and John Coltrane and Philadelphia in that time. And it was just an incredible thing that I had never experience before. And I was like, in all my studies and all my learnings, I haven't had this experience. And I think this is the real thing. This is what will bring me closer to what I want to achieve. This is what I want to know about. And this will help me be able to play as well. And so that was, my foray into the masters, and understanding that I needed to, be around them in order to understand the music more deeply. And so then I, decided to create a series called the Masters Legacy Series, which was designed, to bring my entire generation closer to the jazz masters, and also to bring them closer to us, and to instill this sense of affirmation and vitality, and just, hey, look, we know all the records you played on. We know all the stuff about you. We respect you to the nth degree, and we want to learn from you, and we want to play with you. And it was well received by Benny Golson, by Jimmy and Tootie Heath, by Ron Carter, by Jimmy Cobb,
George Coleman,
who I played with last weekend at Smoke Jazz Club. And I started hiring them, they started hiring me, and I would introduce them to my peers. And, it is a beautiful forum for exchange between the generations, which unfortunately doesn't happen as much as it should.
This showed me something on this tune. I was just the two of us together, and when I got to the bridge, I played the way we always play it. And he said, I said, but this is where we all play it. He said, yeah, but it's wrong. And then he hummed the way it should really go. And I never played it again. And I kept saying, I got to ask Dizzy again, what was that he told me on the bridge? And he died.
It
wasn't exactly like this. He said, uh-uh. I said, but if we all play it like that, he said, but it's wrong. And it's his tune. He died. I don't know what the heck it was. I said, we just play like we play it. Incredible. Oh,
That was jazz legends Benny Golson and Albert Tudy Heath reminiscing an incident with Dizzy Gillespie from their past off of Emmett Cohen's Master Legacy Series Volume 3. Let's talk about your trio. Tell me about the cats. Russell Hall on bass, Kyle Poole on drums. You'll be playing piano. You've already gone into a little bit of the history of how you guys have connected. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, we met and we had similar personalities. We had similar views on how we wanted to play the music, and you know that was a very close-minded view about 8 years ago. It was like we wanted play in this one specific way, and this is how it should be, and these are the cats we like. And little by little, together our horizons expanded, and we got into all the different styles of music. And I think, Kyle now is on the drums, incorporates, a little bit of an older style and has, has 100 years of drums under his fingers, but also knows how to play in an R&B or funk situation and knows all kinds of stuff about James Brown and Earth, Wind & Fire and Stevie and Prince. And he does production and is now a producer and has a recording studio. So he also, he's able to hear the music as a whole and put it together and make it feel a certain way. And that's a very rare trait for a drummer. And that's what makes one of the things that makes Kyle so special. And Russell is one of the most technically proficient and clear bass players and creative. I've never, been around anyone that's so creative. He's absorbed so much of all the great masters, but stays so true to his feelings. And he feels very deeply and creates just these textures and these whole worlds on the bass that we're able to get inside and live in for a while or for a night or for a tour. He's never afraid to take that risk. And I think the thing between the three of us is that, risk taking is one of the most important and most terrifying things in life, especially in jazz. And to know that you have people around you who you can trust, that's what it brings, brings it to life. That's what allows us to take those risks and what allows us to, stretch our ideas and our thoughts and our feelings in all kinds of different directions without ever feeling self-conscious, without ever second guessing anything. We know that we'll be there for each other. The trust is the common link and the common thread and what makes it, what makes our friendship and our musicianship so special.
Having seen your trio last January in New York at Birdland, I must say that you make it look easy, and I know it's not. Very exciting that you'll be coming to Northwest Arkansas for the first time.
That sounds great. I appreciate it. I appreciate you, you sharing our message with the people of Arkansas and the people in your circle. And I can't wait to see everyone in person.
Anna Cohen Trio will perform Saturday, December 5th in Baum Walker Hall at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. The venue's social distancing policies will be in effect for that show. More about those policies and more about the show can be found at waltonartscenter.org. Emma Cohen spoke with Robert Ginsberg, and you can hear Robert's Shades of Jazz, the longest-running radio show in Northwest Arkansas, Friday nights at 10 on 91.3, and Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on KUAF3. KUAF3 can be found on your HD radio at KUAF.com or by asking your smart speaker to please play KUAF3.